I need him to guide me today. Dear Heavenly Father, I just come before you and I ask that you're here today. I feel your hand, Lord. I just want you to shut me down. Use me as your mouthpiece, Lord. And I know the message you want me to deliver, but don't let me miss any part that you want me to bring out, Lord. Lord, we thank you for the gift. We thank you for the season. We thank you for your son's birth. As we get into that today and we go throughout the Christmas season out in public, just let us show that gift, Lord. In your name we pray. Amen. So today's kind of, those of you that have been here for a while, you probably think, man, this dude is, and I don't know how, Les and I talked about this week, I don't know how the schedule, why the schedule works, but I preached Christmas last Sunday, or last year, so I'm sorry if you're, but I'm simple. But before I even get into that, I want to talk to you a little bit about some God workings going on right now, today, this week. I get a text from Angie McGlaude on Wednesday, and I don't have Angie's number saved, which is weird. Now I do, but it said, "Please pray for Matt," and then it went into detail, which you all got on your text chain. What you may or may not know is when Matt was having his colonoscopy, they hooked his IV up. His blood pressure went to 50 over 24. I'm not medically inclined. I don't know what code blue actually is, but that's pretty doggone close. Okay? Angie said Matt just didn't respond, unresponsive. Matt later said it wasn't selective hearing. It was not. He said, "I went to sleep." And he said, "When I woke up, I thought, you know, what a way to go." But when you woke up, you're shocked back to life. Not shocked. I don't think they shocked Matt. But he came back to life and he sees 25 people in his room. And he's like, "Hey, what's going on?" Okay. All the tests are positive. Nothing came back goofy. I think he was dehydrated because of the prep time. That's God. That's God. For his blood pressure to do that and there be nothing wrong, that's a God thing. And you know, here, selfishly, when I got that text message, I immediately went to prayer. You know what my prayer was? I can't do all this in your church without this guy. God, don't let him go. I was selfish. I'll be honest. This dude does a lot. He has a servant's heart, and he'll give you the shirt off his back if he needs to. So praise God there. My second thing I found out yesterday is my buddy Neil got run over by a tow motor. Someone ran up his left side. And he has swelling in his right hand. And again, Neil said, "Yeah, I went to the doctor this week. I had a checkup. How'd that go?" No broken bones. No organ damage. No nothing. He's got swelling in his right hand and bruising. He's stiff and sore, obviously. But, guys, again, that is nothing but God. That is nothing but God. And I'm sure there's multiple other stories. Last one I'm going to tell you today is last weekend. You all know they had Journey Through Bethlehem at Neil and Kelly's. And if you were not able to make it, you missed it. When I pulled up Sunday night, I didn't go Saturday, I went Sunday night, and I got there at like 5:30, and I found a spot, and one of the shepherds, or whatever Les was, he was walking out the drive as I was walking in, and he said, Kelly, we don't have any heaters. Oof. But I got a propane tank at the house. So I said, Les, my truck's just, it's down the road, but it's probably closer than what yours is. And so we took Les home, got the heater, propane tank for the heater, came back. I parked on County Road 46. Now that's how far is that, Kelly? Half mile from your house to the .1, so quarter of a mile, we'll say, tenth of a mile. When I was walking it, it seemed like a lot further than that. Okay? But the attendance at this, and my dad and I went, and in the group we were in, there were people from Mansfield, there was people from Marion. I thought, that's really cool. And some people probably heard that story for the first time. And what a way to be presented. It's not going to be presented theatrical that way today. But here's the news I want to tell you is, through that community outreach, through that, we were able to help a family in need. Those of you that don't know, the Taylors that live there on 57, neighbors to Les and Jesse and everybody, they have a little girl that's 5 or 6. She's first grade? Kindergarten. She has, started out behind her eye, cancer. She was treated a while back, but it's come back. So we were able to give them the proceeds from the journey to Bethlehem and some gift money that the church had. Open Arms Christian Church, Journey Through Bethlehem. We are extremely grateful for our community. I'm going to try to get through this. Thank you. Thank you for your continued prayers for Audrey and the family. While this season of life has had many unknowns, we hold on to the truth that Jesus remains the same today, and we can find rest in Him and the peace that surpasses our understanding. The donations were unexpected, but we are very appreciative. In the last couple weeks, we learned that proton radiation will be needed. Sometime next year, early 2020, we will be heading down to Cincinnati Children's Hospital for about 6 weeks. For Audrey's radiation treatment. With that said, we will pursue lodging for our family during that time. There have been several times throughout this journey where God has aligned our needs through His followers. We are thankful for our Lord and Savior, and we continue to put our trust in Him. We pray for Audrey's healing, and that through this, we can ultimately glorify God through our testimony. Thank you all again. The Taylors. And I get a little worked up because while we gave them financial support, yesterday I learned a lot more about my God by going and presenting that to them. Because this little girl is living her life like we should all live our life. She is quite possibly the happiest, most energetic, loving little girl I've ever met in my life. No hair, straggly hair growing back. And that hit me pretty hard. And I met Rachel for the first time, and man, you'd never know talking to her. One of her kids is sick. So again, God is at work, people, and if you don't believe that, open your eyes and have a clear vision and understanding of what He does. So now on to the message. We're going to be in Luke 2, and I titled the message, Christmas 2021, The Gift, What Will You Do With It? And I talked, and one other thing, Jenny is home. Jenny had her surgery Friday. She's doing well. I talked to her yesterday. She's sore, obviously. Actually, she said it hurts. Yeah. Yeah. But it went well, and everything seems to be, she'll be on the path to recovery, and we'll see where that goes. But as we start through the Christmas story, and kids, this is, since you're here, this is a great time for the kids to be here. We're going to be in Luke 2, and it's the Christmas story. The birth of Jesus. And there's some things I'll bring out later, but it's just pretty neat how everything works together today like it did back in times of Jesus. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone went to their own town to register. So, some say, what census? What is it? You know, we don't have to do the census today because why? Trust me, the government knows where you're at. They know where you're at already. They know how many people have a bank account. They know how many people were born. They just have all those records. Back then, they didn't have them. So they had to bring everybody back to the town they were born or their city of their ancestors. Okay? So if I was in the line of David, I went back to where that family originally started. So, that's what was going on. So Joseph went up from the town of Nazareth into Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, it came time for the baby to be born. Now, I'm gonna go back a little bit. What Luke doesn't tell you is Mary was a virgin. Mary was a virgin. So, Mary was not married. She was betrothed, which means engaged, to Joseph. Little pre-story. Mary had angels come to her at the night and say, hey, you're going to give birth to a son, and you're going to name him Jesus. Now, I have three daughters. If one of them come to me and said, Dad, I'm going to have a child, and it's going to be Jesus. But I'm a virgin. Yeah, you are. Okay. But we don't know of Mary's parents. We don't hear of Mary's parents. But I love Mary's response, because Mary point blank said, I am your servant. I'm paraphrasing. Okay? I am your servant, and I will do whatever you want me to do. That's Matt words of what Mary said. Okay? Well, the angels also appeared to Joseph. Now, here's the dude. We don't know a lot about Joseph. We know he's a carpenter. We know he was the birthly father of Jesus. He raised him for a while. We don't get a lot of Joseph. Here's what I'm going to tell you about Joseph. God gave Joseph every opportunity to run and not be a part of this plan. Because God sent angels to Joseph and said, hey, by the way, that girl you're engaged to be married to, she's pregnant. Okay? She's pregnant. And you're going to have this child, and you're going to call him Jesus. So what do we know about Mary and Joseph? We know that they had faith. Faith is all you need. We know they had faith. So that's the precursor for Mary and Joseph. And then they traveled by donkey to where they had to go. And they, I don't know, I have a lot of questions about that sentence, because since she was just betrothed to Joseph, why did she have to go with Joseph? She wasn't married to Joseph yet. Why didn't she go to her? Listen, here's what I'm going to tell you. That wasn't God's plan. God's plan, they went together because it created this. And that's where we're at. Verse 7. She gave birth to her firstborn son. She wrapped him in clothes and placed him in a manger because there was no guest room available for them. So because, you know, if I know, I don't know how far in advance they knew they had to go to Bethlehem and for that, but if I know I'm going to Dayton for a weekend for whatever, I'm going to pick up the phone. I'm going to book a hotel room much in advance, right? They couldn't do that. And Bethlehem, I don't think, was all that big a city. It's not like Detroit or Cleveland or Cincinnati or Columbus. My vision of Bethlehem is Johnsville, Iberia. Okay? Small town. Everybody knows everybody. But this big influx of people come into there, all of a sudden the one hotel that's there is booked. So we have the Savior of the world coming, and He is born in a stable. Only because Paul Hershberger's wife says, "You give them that stable." That was the innkeeper at Journey to Bethlehem. And they couldn't have casted that any better, by the way. But why is it important he was born in a stable? Well, think about it. Who does God use today? He doesn't use people that were born with a silver spoon in their mouth all the time. He uses me. He uses you. He uses Christians who are persecuted all over the world to get His word out there. He uses common, ordinary people. And it's funny because Jesus born in the barn, everybody looks down on that. I think it's the coolest thing in the world. The manger. I want to talk about the manger for a second. We have our conception, our perception of the manger, and this is, you know, fine. You could feed cattle or sheep out of it. I want to tell you something I found. I'm just going to read this to you. I bet you didn't know the following about the manger that Jesus was laid in. Of course, mangers are animal feeding troughs, but in ancient Israel, they're made out of stone, not what you see in modern-day nativity scene. Not comfortable, but great for protection. That's why those who are experts in this matter, the priest, would put their newborn lambs in them for protection. But not just any lamb, the unblemished, perfect lambs that were used for the sacrifice of sins. And Bethlehem, where Jesus was born, was famous for their unblemished lambs used for sacrifice. These lambs had to be perfect, so they would wrap them tightly in cloth and lie them in a manger to keep them safe until the time for their sacrifice. This is exactly why the only time mangers are mentioned is in Jesus' birth story is being told to shepherds. In Luke 2, it says, "This will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloth and lying in a manger." The shepherds would have understood this important and powerful parallel. they knew what the cloth in the manger meant. This baby would be the perfect Lamb of God, the Messiah who would sacrifice his life for the sins of the whole world. He wasn't just a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes lying in a manger. He was God. Perfect, sinless, and holy, humbling himself to become the perfect sacrifice to reconcile us back to himself. That, my friend, the perfect Lamb, is why we celebrate Christmas. But the manger was used to protect those perfect lambs. And Wes and I talked about that Thursday night, and I didn't know that. I just figured he'd fed them out of it. But that makes a lot of sense that the priests had these lambs, and they didn't want them scarred. They didn't want them dirty. They didn't want them to have leg hair missing. So they wrapped them in clothes and put them in there to store them until they sacrificed them. Makes you look at the manger a little different. Now we're getting to, maybe you should have waited, but in verse 8, and there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks by night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in clothes and lying in a manger." So as I've read that story thousands of times, that little thing off of Facebook gives me a little more, okay, now I get it. The shepherds knew what they were doing because they knew where this baby was going to be held in the manger, in clothes. They knew that was the perfect Savior. And shepherds don't get a lot of credit, right? We think shepherding is a pretty silly thing in that time, to be out in the hills with nothing but sheep. Can't protect themselves, who can't find food, who can't find water. They do everything for them. Yeah. Here's what I'll tell you about shepherding. It's simpler nowadays because everybody's in the barn when they have their lambs, or everybody's at least in a fenced-in area. I don't have to travel 10 miles to go check the back flock of my sheep. And we had a weird thing this week happen, and it ties right into what I'm talking about today. We had a ewe that had lambs, and it was about 5 o'clock in the morning, and Shelby come back in the house after checking them, because we have this, Shelby installed this camera system in my barn so that she can get up and check them through the night, whatever. So she goes down and she comes back and she whispers, "Dad, you ain't waking me up with that. Wake Chris up, but you're not waking me up with that. We have sheep, but something's going on." Okay. So I got out of bed, stumbled to the bathroom, did my business, put some clothes on, went to get my Carhartts on the garage, walk to the barn. By this time, I hear Shelby talking to a couple of the sheep in the barn. And by that, I mean screaming at them. This ewe had twin lambs, but there was another ewe that was also due. And I'm telling you, she's our best ewe. She's our most aggressive ewe. Well, she thought these two lambs were hers. So, the ewe that had the lambs is probably our most passive ewe. The ewe that did not have lambs yet was our most aggressive ewe. And they were, so basically it was, one ewe was taking care of one ewe was taking care of the other. But then I thought, that aggressive ewe is kind of like Mary. She knows what needs to be done, and she's just doing it. The other you, super passive, not doing it. Mary jumped into that situation and said, whatever you need, God. That was old Bill Johnson. She's like, okay, whatever needs done, I'm going to do it. Right? Now, here's the weird part. I swear to you that you that did not have the babies yet had milk. Bizarre. So anyway, we penned them up together for the day, and throughout the day, this ewe that had the lambs is like a chocolate covered, and has wool on her face, and the ewe that doesn't is the black face, big black legs, black face, just about perfect ewe you want, and the ewe has a black lamb, a jet black lamb, and a speckled lamb. Weird. How do you suppose that breakdown went? That's how I know that this wasn't her ewe. This ewe was mothering the speckled ewe. And the brown-faced ewe was mothering the black ewe. Anyway, long story short, we had to take the black ewe out, get her out of the pen, and the other ewe eventually is mothering both lambs now. Now fast forward 2 days. Yesterday morning, that ewe, that Johnson ewe, that 19, she had twin ewe lambs that are practically full grown. These guys hit the ground. She licked their face. They got up. They wobbled around a little bit. And they went to the milk. The way you like them. Those two lambs are perfect lambs. Those two would be ones the priests are going to grab, wrap up, put in the basin. They are jet black, not a spot of white on them. They're perfect. They're great body. They're great head. They're strong. They're big. They're it. So that's what the perfect lamb looks like. And that's what we nailed to the cross. Okay? A long way to get there, but I think I eventually got there. So the shepherds ran to where they were going. Suddenly a company of heavenly hosts appeared to the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." After the initial fear, which if an angel appears to me in the middle of the night, I'm going to show some fear. If I'm out just checking some sheep. Footnote about these cameras. They have a speaker, which I've figured out how to use. So now when Shelby's in the barn at 5 o'clock in the morning, not 5 o'clock in the morning, but later in the evening, I'll say, "Shelby, this is your dad." Pretty neat feature. Yeah. But that's what I feel like these shepherds were like. God just spoke to us. So they were scared to death first. But then they heard what was said and they were like, okay, let's go. Right? There was no question. There was no doubt what was told them. They went. They left their flock and left. Pretty cool. So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. Guys, it doesn't say just the Christians were amazed. It said all were amazed at what the shepherds told them. This is the greatest story ever told. And I don't care who you tell it to, they're going to be amazed at what God's plan is. We have a responsibility to tell about the gift we've been given. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds then returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. That's impressive. On the eighth day, when it was time to circumcise the child, he was named Jesus, the name the angel had given him before he was conceived. Now, I'm going to tell you a little more about this story. Okay? Also, there were three magi, and these guys were, they're smart people, right? These guys, they're called wise men. Not wise man like me. Wise men. Two words. Don't ever accuse me of being a wise man. Okay? I'm a wise man. Wise men. One word. Not two. Okay? But these guys were brought into King Herod's court. And he said, listen, I want you to go find this baby. And then I want you to come back to me because I want to go worship this baby. Okay. So the three wise men, they got gifts. And this is where gifts come from. They got gifts and they took them to present them to the Lord, Jesus. Okay, and they were gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And you could do a whole sermon on the gold, frankincense, and myrrh, why those were the three gifts. You could do a whole sermon on that. We're not going to go there. But in their travels, when they were headed there, again, an angel comes to them and says, hey, I'm glad you're going there. You follow the stars. And I think it's important we note that the angel went to each different person involved in the Christmas story and told them on their own terms. Because the magi, or the wise men, studied what? The stars. So God's plan was, okay, I'm going to talk to the wise men what they know. You follow that star, the Star of David, and it's going to lead you there. So it made it believable for the wise men. They knew that's where they were headed, right? And then the shepherds, he said, you're going to find that baby laying in a manger. The plan was, I'm going to make it so these guys understand it. So, also, when he appeared to the wise men, or when the angels appeared to the wise men, they said, hey, don't go back to Herod. He doesn't want to worship Jesus. He wants to take care of Jesus. Not in a good sense. So, the wise men went, they presented their gifts, and when they left, they went a total different way around. And again, guys, we're talking, they didn't get in their pickup truck and drive. They were on camels. So it takes a while to drive. And they went out and around, and they went nowhere close back to Herod. They went to a totally different area because they knew that's what God told them to do. Now, my question to you is this. Is there something God's telling you to do and you're balking? Because we have multiple examples of Jesus' birth of people that just heard God and followed what God told them to do. And that is more important. I mean, that is not more important than the birth itself. But guys, the examples that are provided here give us our way of life today, what we should do as Christians today. You know, we have the story. We have everything we need. Why do we make it so hard to be a Christian? Because we're worldly. Okay, we believe what the world tells us. And we try to conform to what the world thinks we should be. Guys, I challenge you to be a shepherd. Be a wise man. Be Mary. Be Joseph. When God presents His plan to you, go fulfill it. There's many times in my life I've balked at a lot of things. I'm where I'm at today because it's part of God's plan. No other reason. Matt's here today because it's part of God's plan. No other reason. Neil's here today because it's part of God's plan. No other reason. I can tell you that Neil's here so he can, because this journey through Bethlehem is going to be bigger and bigger and bigger. Neil's here so he can build more stuff. Because I will tell you that next year, I think we're going to have to go higher with that star, Neil, because I think after the parking situation, we're going to have to bus people from Northmore High School, and we need that star to be there so we can be the wise man bringing the people, and we can see that star from miles away. It'd be cool. Just a thought, Kelly. I don't know. But guys, we have been given the ultimate gift. He was laid in that manger. He was wrapped in cloth. Not only because he was cold. He was in a stable. He wasn't in a heated environment. He was in a stable. The baby was cold. More importantly, I want you to think about that cloth, because he was wrapped because he was meant to be preserved as the perfect sacrifice for sin. And then the Christmas story is the beginning. In a few months we'll get the end. And the beginning again. The story never ends. But as you go through Christmas, I want you to think about that gift you've been given. And I got a little challenge today. And this is elder approved. Shelby, Lindsay, Morgan, come here. Please. Every family unit, every household is going to be given a $100 bill from the church. It's a gift. No strings attached. The only challenge I issue you, if you need this for Christmas money, use it for Christmas money. If you need this for groceries, use it for groceries. If God has blessed you, and you don't need it, go share God's love with it. This is not something that we as a church want back. This is a gift to you, so you do with it what you want. If God has blessed you and you don't need it, pass the gift on to somebody else. This is the greatest gift the world has ever been given. And the $100 bill, yeah, that's a corny little thing, but you know what? I want us to understand, I want us to show God's love every single day. If this $100 bill makes it easier for us to show God's love to somebody, then I'll give you another one next week. Okay? I don't care. If money is the only thing holding you back from showing God's love, I'm going to give it to you. Okay? Do not let there be a reason for you not to share Jesus' love. Because the shepherds did it. The wise men did it. Mary and Joseph did it. The innkeeper did it. He didn't have to give them the stable. You know, Jesus could have been just born in the middle of the street. But God's plan provided for what it needed to be. God's plan is providing for you every single day. I know that doesn't always seem that. That's the biggest thing I took out of my conversation with Ray, or our conversation, Jesse and Kelly and I's conversation with Rachel yesterday, is God's plan is perfect. And it broke my heart to have her say that to me, because I have it easy. You've got a 5-year-old that you may or may not see Christmas next year. And she's telling me about faith, and she's telling me about God's plan. Seriously, Matt, what are you doing? That hit me hard. It hit me hard. Go out and show God's love. Go out and spread God's story. You have the perfect speaking point to start with. Did you know my Jesus was born in a stable? Did you know my Jesus was born to a virgin mother? Did you know my Jesus is perfect? That'll blow everybody's mind. Okay? My challenge is go show God's love. Let's close in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we just come before you as we go into Christmas, Lord. Just pound on us the importance of us showing your love and your gift to everyone we come in contact with. Lord, it's an easy sell. The story is an easy story. Get us out of our comfort zone and get us into sharing your love and your word to the world. Lord, we have so many reasons to be thankful. We have so many reasons to be grateful with Matt, Neil, with just everybody going on, with Audrey. Lord, we just lift her up to you. We know that she's in your hands, Lord. And I pray for Rachel and the whole family, all the kids. And let this Christmas for them be a joyous occasion, Lord. Lord, we love you and we thank you. In your name we pray. Amen. So Les and Jesse, I'll be here. The praise band's going to come and sing a song of invitation. And if you don't know how this story ends, and you don't know what your relationship with the gift looks like,